It is Friday, February 12th, 7 minutes after 8 Eastern Standard Time. It is Low Standards and Pours, broadcasting to South Detroit City, about 25 miles, about a 20-minute drive in the suburbs. You've got somebody that'd like to call in. Who could that be?
El Carpe.
Live.
Hey, am I too quiet? What's going on?
What? Fade out?
Am I all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fade out.
Fade out? Okay.
That was a beautiful fade out. Fade out.
Thank you. I've been practicing that.
You really got that down to a whatever.
It certainly is science.
English could not so for me.
Yeah, exactly. Woo. I am tasting my Maker's Mark 46. I don't know if I'm a big fan of this. It's kind of strong.
But is it helping the throat?
Yeah, it's like that R2-D2 here keeps blowing oxygen down my throat. So, like, my throat feels fine talking, but if I have a deep cough, like, you know, just to kind of clear my throat or whatever, it hurts down there. It's like, it would, you know.
Ooh.
Excuse me. So, whatever. I'm just going to numb it up with a little – whatever. I don't know what you call it. Rocks glass. Half, two finger. I don't even know what you call
great.
It.
Great.
Yeah. Full of bourbon and see if it helps out at all. Yeah. What's your week been like? I had a lousy day today, but not lousy, but just a bunch of people that can't make freaking decisions.
Well, you know, that happens when you start the new job.
The 15th of March.
Okay, so you got some time to putz around and get yourself settled. Is that start training that day or?
Yeah, I think they said, I don't know, it was like two months of training or something, 3 months, 2 months.
Oh, that's good. At least they got a program for you to get you hooked up.
Yeah, it's all paid and everything, which is nice. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited to be kind of back on a paycheck. Takes a little pressure off, you know.
Yeah, you know, and like we talked about it before one of those days that we did, you know, this could be good for you.
Yeah, I think so. But I can still do real stand aside, you know, for little, you know, whatever.
Little chink. And they don't have a problem
little
with
side
that?
Cash. Well, I didn't tell them that I was going to do it, but I'm not going to be out advertising, so to speak, but...
Right. And as long as it doesn't get in the way
of
a regular gig and you're not, you know, they're not paying you, you know, you're not going during your lunchtime or something like that to go show a house or something, you know, you're respectful to them and you take your weekends and do your own thing and that they shouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. And I can't really be a buyer's agent all that well. So it's going to be more for listings, you know, friends and family or whatever, you know, people that I know. Just whatever, whoever I pick up here and there.
Too bad I'm never going to move, ever.
Well, you never know.
No, I've dropped anchor.
Gotcha. This is it? You're just...
This is the house I'm going to die in.
Okay. No, it's all right. I got to figure out a house to buy. I was telling my mom, I'm like, at my age, I don't know. Do I just keep renting? I don't know. You know? It's...
We've had this discussion before. There's no shame in buying the house right out from underneath the guy that you're living in.
No
shame in that at all.
No, I could put a couple bucks into it, paint it, and put some, you know, whatever. And the only thing I don't like about it, really, the only thing is, damn, it doesn't have a garage. It does, but I can't get my car in there. At least not the car.
Well, then you need a different car.
Yeah, I'd have to buy a smaller car now. I think I could have got my Accord in there, but. It was kind of a long car, but the one I've got now is wide. So I don't know. But nevertheless, that's the world, right? Yeah, exactly. I kind of dig my place because everybody leaves me alone. I'm on a dead end street. I love the train that goes by. I can sit on my deck half naked and peer across into the apartment parking lot and wonder who can see me and smoke cigarettes. No, I can't anymore. I might. No, I don't know. I tell you, it's weird. It kind of comes and goes, but I'll get these strong urges like, I'm going to go buy a pack of cigarettes. That's
don't.
It. I'm going to go buy them. I know. And
don't
then I just kind of, I sit there, I think about it, and then it just kind of goes away.
Well, and the last thing you need is
hours later.
The last thing you need is an open flame near the oxygen tank.
Yeah, I don't want to blow up R2-D2 and the rest of this condo complex.
Silly
boy. But no, I had, long story short, I just had a series of the people that don't call you back, the people that say they're going to call you back and never do. And they're all simple questions and answers. And then there's the people that you're hoping that would have enough, I don't know, common sense, I guess, enough drive to find the answer. But I'll put it to you this way, and I don't want to throw any companies under the bus, but it's one of the largest mortgage companies probably in the world. Allows you to deal with. People will not account for anything. Like, yeah, well, I gave the piece of paper to so-and-so. I don't know what they did with it. Or, you know, hey, you need to call the insurance company back and get this solved. Well, yeah, I had so-and-so do that. I don't know if they did it or not. Like, nobody wants to take, you know, responsibility.
And take credit for what you, you know, do something.
Yeah, it's been going on. This I had to get some HOA insurance kind of approved for a condo purchase. And long story short, the condo that my client is buying, he currently lives in, he rents. So he's buying it from a friend of mine. So he knows all about the condo. So he bypassed the inspection. So we went right to appraisal. We had the appraisal done the first week. And 45-day close, right? Well,
you would think.
We're supposed to close today. This big, huge company here on TV all the time still can't get the HOA approval, the insurance on it. And they're talking to the insurance company. The insurance company's talking to them. Nobody's taking responsibility. And the lady at the insurance company can't understand why I'm upset and kind of barking at her. And she's getting mad because I'm talking over her. I'm like, listen, lady, it's like, you know, put yourself in my shoes. You know, this is ridiculous. Like, all you people are not doing your job. You know,
right? It comes down to personal responsibility. Who's gonna stand up and go, let's get it done. What do I need to do it? And that's why I'm really happy that I work at a small company that can handle that kind of stuff. You know, everybody has a responsibility, and we stink and do it.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I got to say this too. So I was on my phone last night flipping through some current news. And maybe you heard. Do you know?
There was news? There was news?
There was some news, not major news. Nothing major
happens.
News to me.
Nothing happens.
Yeah, major news to me being in the real estate industry.
Oh, okay.
Zillow bought Showing Time. So Showing Time is one of the major leaders in software that you set up all your, you know, when you go to see a house or you want to show a house, you can use Showing Time to make that connection. Well, Zillow bought Showing Time. So it's one more step to basically, and I don't blame them, but it's one more step to basically, you know, I think when you go to sell your house, and this is probably the way it should be, it's going to be a flat fee kind of thing. It's, in other words, I had this conversation with somebody else today, and let's say, Bill, let's say if you had a $300,000 house and your relatives had $1 million house, and I sold both of them, I listed both of them. And I both sold them the first day. Well, just because your relatives have $1 million house, why does it cost them more to sell their house? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me as a realtor. But what I think is, or the whole industry is moving, and it's kind of inevitable, I think, I was talking to my broker about it today, is that it's going to be a management company that you contact, and they're essentially going to take it over and sell it for you for a small fee.
And it should be. Yeah, it should be a flat fee, the same way that loan originators are now limited to a flat fee, more or less.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what size the loan is; it's limited to a certain amount. So.
Exactly.
Is that Resting Richard?
Resting Richard.
Rock on. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see.
Yeah, I've got mine on. I got fingerprints all over them.
Oh, sweet!
Yeah,
that makes it even better.
Yeah.
So let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's come to our attention that some of you listeners, yes, both of you, have come to believe that these two presenters have, on occasion, come up with reasonable, coherent thoughts. Let's dispel that misnomer immediately.
That's by accident. Yeah.
Yes, they are morons. This show is for fun only, and anything that they say was not researched and should be fact-checked by other smart people. That said, the law offices of Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf take no responsibility for any statements made on this show, and should you be offended by any of their statements, you are a sad, sad individual and need professional counseling.
Well said.
That's the opening one. We have a commercial break in about 20 minutes. We're going to do a commercial.
All right.
And then I have the closing disclaimer. I've got that all set up. So,
all right. Did you make up a commercial? Or am I just putting the radio on? Oh, we do?
No. We actually have a commercial.
All right.
We're going to be monetized by the law offices. This is Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf.
A little rip, Tater Chip.
Mm-hmm. Well, they figure they're getting enough of our money from, the legal representation that they barely give us. So they want to advertise on our measly show.
Yeah. Do you have any useless knowledge for us today?
I am full of useless knowledge. I have none prepared.
No, that's no big deal.
I basically got home from work. We had some dinner and watched, WandaVision with the kids. Because that's the new Marvel show. It's the sixth episode is out. Oh, it's good. It's good fun stuff.
Okay.
If you're a Marvel fan and you're not watching WandaVision, then you're kind of a half Marvel fan. And that's okay. You're allowed to. But it is interesting, fun stuff. And it's something that the kids wanted to do, so I wanted to join them. So, then it was like right from there, right to here. Boom, bang, boom.
Yeah, next. I don't know. I haven't seen anything Marvel.
You know what I do have, but that's not useless information.
Yeah.
I have two albums I picked out.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We could talk about music stuff because that's kind of what we do. But I also found my outgoing voicemail message from college.
Really? We've been talking about that for a long time. I'm glad you found it. I'm really interested to hear what it sounds like.
I had downloaded it like months ago and then forgot that I did it and then realized that I had it on this thumb drive. Then I'm like, well, where did I put it? And it took forever to find it. And then I found it yesterday and I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
Oh, good for you. You want to play it right now? You want to get it out of the way?
Well, if that would make you happy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let me – I did sort of a sound check, so not really – earlier, so let's see if this works. Let me know if you can hear it okay.
Yeah.
Hello? I'm the guy who sits next to you and reads the newspaper over your shoulder.
And now,
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest
message
in the history of our nation.
Tell me about your childhood.
What's your name?
But if you want to leave a message, just start talking and sound the tone.
No, that wasn't your radio set on the blink.
So that's like
pretty good.
50 seconds.
How long is it?
It's 50 seconds.
Is it 50 seconds? That was the entire one?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like it.
I love the, you get Martin Luther King Jr. in there, a little NXS, OMD.
Very diverse. Very diverse.
U2. And honestly, if I would actually, if someone were to listen to that in the next 4 days and write down the source of each one of those clips.
Oh yeah,
and get it correct. I'll send them something.
You would send them a hat, an El Carpe hat.
I would make something up. I would figure something.
An El Carpe poster.
I mean, I know all the stuff.
Yeah,
obviously I did it all, and I own all that stuff. But it's just to have, you know, it's just, I don't know. Is it a contest? Is it not a contest? Hey, Man Cave, thanks for stopping by.
You know what?
Man Cave Sound.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Man Cave Sound. Maybe he's got something to
add to our stupid show. Yeah.
Exactly.
I doubt it.
That's what I was trying to say. Is it possible?
I don't know.
Oh, it's gotta be.
But Man Cave. Man Cave.
Yeah, Man give Cave. Us something. We're all about like local Detroit music, just music in general. Whatever. Answering machines from 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Well, let me tell you about Man Cave, what I know. He smells nice, has his own clothing line, former astronaut, currently reproducing a period piece movie called Stalin Does Dallas.
What the hell are you reading?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's believable.
I like that. Yeah.
Very. Yeah. You should have your own podcast.
I really should, shouldn't I?
You should.
I'd be pretty good in a podcast if someone.
You're the one that, you're always trying to drive.
Be my partner.
Yeah. I feel like Ed McMahon all the time.
You are Ed McMahon.
That's all right.
Eric.
We knew that going into it. So.
Yeah. And
you know,
sadly,
I'm kind of your wingman.
But sadly, everything seems to rest on me. And, you know, if I'm having a bad day, then the show sucks.
Yeah. Hey, you just got to tell me when you're having a bad day so I can pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
You're doing just fine.
I've got, I think I'll go first because I don't think you're not going to guess either one of these. And I have a feeling I'm not going to guess either one of yours. The one I'm going to send, I'll give you some clues. Right. The first one.
That'll be fun. Yeah, let me try and guess.
Yeah, the first. You know, I don't really know a lot about either one, but I like them both for different reasons. I'll start with the tougher one. Well,
okay.
They're both kind of tough. So, shit. All right, here we go. Let me. This is a band that formed. So let me think here. How can I describe it? An alternative band. That Murray formed with a folk singer. That folk singer has now, folk singer kind of songwriter has now passed away. Didn't have a lot of hits, but his voice is very well known. I don't want to give
Dire Straits.
No.
They only got
a few albums, and one of them, at least. The one that I know best is all blues covers. Blues Ooh. Covers. Blues. I don't know if you know these guys. These guys are kind of like, once I tell you kind of how they're put together, you'd be, oh, it's kind of interesting. But let me see if I should have, you know what? I meant to run
you
this
meant to cue something up, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to see if you could hear it and if it was clear. But here, I'm gonna let it rip right now, and you tell me. If
let a rip, Tater Chip. Something
you'd say. You can hear it.
Hey, Sean, thanks for joining us, man. You know, you've heard about Sean. You know, he smells nice. Has he run for
you? Can you hear that?
That's horrible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
That just sounds like you're swinging.
Yeah, I don't know how you hear so clear. Hold on.
Well, because I'm playing from the speakers, you know, the separate speakers.
Can you hear that?
That's a little better.
You can't hear that either, can you?
Yeah, a little bit. It's actually better because it's not screaming.
Does it sound better?
Barely. Yeah, that's good. Now I'm intrigued.
Okay. I'll let it go for a little while longer. All right. Yeah. You still there? All right.
Yes, I am.
You let me know if you can. Can you still hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're fine, and the music is actually relatively okay. I'm hearing myself in an echo, but I think that's because you're how you're doing things, but it's all right.
Yeah, I've got separate speakers, so let me turn this off.
Yeah.
Okay, you there now?
Oh, yeah. And now there's no echo.
Does it sound better?
But yeah, doing the separate speaker was better.
Okay, I'll do that for the other one, too. The song is Manish Boy, And it's a blues cover. Yeah. I forgot, obviously that sounded a little bluesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who's the band? I couldn't pick it out.
It is Warren Zevon.
You know Warren Zevon is,
right?
I know the name, yeah.
REM. And together they formed a band called Hindu Love Gods. And they pretty much play all blues covers. They do a Raspberry Beret by Prince, and yeah, it's a great. If you can find the album, or if you can just go on like YouTube or YouTube or whatever and listen to it, it's an excellent album. It's great. Every song is they do a great cover for each of the songs. So
I think I've heard a couple of those songs already, in the past. I remember that coming out and going, "Well, that was interesting," but at the time, my brain was too young to understand how cool it was. But it's awesome that you played a bluesy type thing that kind of does remakes.
Yeah.
Because that encompasses both of my bands.
Are we on the same page again?
We are so on the same page. This is ridiculously scary.
All right.
I'm digging it. So tell me more about the Warren Zevon. Did they and REM, did they do – and the name of the band again is what again?
The Hindu Love Gods.
Mm.
So
Hindu Love Gods. The album you're talking about, when did that come out?
Yeah, they're saying the years active were 1984 to 1990. This is the only album that I know that they produced. But I think there is two other ones that they're saying they produced. I think probably by far, I'm sure this is probably the best, only because it's all old blues covers and stuff.
Well, and you know,
I'll have to dig in a little bit further. Yeah.
Anytime you throw old blues out, that's awesome. Good stuff.
Right, right. So it says discography.
Discography, yes.
Yeah.
Discography. English second language mostly.
I get that tongue tied, you know.
Yeah.
Like photography.
Talk no so good. Right. You don't do the English goods.
So they had a 7-inch single come out. Gonna have a good time tonight. And then they had one in 1990, which is the Hindu Love Gods, self-titled. And then they had just the single come out, Raspberry Beret. So they just basically came out with one album.
So they're basically just having fun, a couple guys having a good time, saying, "Hey, let's produce a record together and have some fun." And really, it could have been a long weekend in a church.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they were known. R.M. was known to write songs in a church down in Athens.
Well, and I was just going with the now I can't think of the name of the band. The reference, Cowboy Junkies reference.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, Cowboy Junkies first album recorded in a church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the one where she did the version of Lou Reed. And Lou Reed said it's actually a better version than he did.
Yeah. Well, you know what's up. Well, I won't keep going. I won't say nothing. You probably already know now, but go ahead. Who's yours? What do you got?
I guess to stick with the bluesy theme, and we'll do the remake theme later. But to go to the bluesy theme, I'm going to pull this guy up. This guy is a classic American guitarist. Has been around through the 80s, 90s, still playing. Was doing stuff in the late 70s. He actually uncredited bass guitarist at the house party in Animal House as the bass guitarist for Otis Day and the Nights. That's who this guy is. And it's a name of a guy, and it's his band. And he just plays good, strong rhythm and blues. Just good stuff. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of this. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but I'm going to give you a little bit of this. Guitar, huh? Nice horns. It's got a little beat to it, right?
Yeah.
I need it going.
Blank. You can buy me a car, fill up the tank, tell me about
what is it? It sounds really familiar.
Ain't nothing but a woman. No, no. So that is from the 1986 album, Strong Persuader by Robert Cray.
Robert Cray.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
He's just got a soulful, soft voice.
Yeah. Yeah. His stuff is easy to listen to.
Very, very easy to listen to. And the music itself is not super complex. It's your basic, you know, rhythm and blues, 4-bar, 12-bar, whatever.
Right.
Easy, simple, but he adds layers to it. Like the horns were nice. The rhythm with the drums and the bass and all that stuff, just very well assembled and just fun to listen to. But that was Nothing But a Woman. And then I think this is the other one. Well, I picked out three. Yeah. This is, I guess I showed her. You hear that in the background?
Yeah.
Again, nice, easy horns. The lyrics tell a story, and his voice is nice, right?
Yeah, I'm looking online right now to see if he is coming on tour, and he's actually out and about.
I would go see him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, his Kalamazoo date is. It's postponed.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's going to be postponed for a little while, but yeah. Stuff's going to start coming, and he's one of the ones I would definitely go see.
Yeah, that'd be a good show. Mean,
you can put this in the background and just, you know.
Yeah, if you're out, like, you know, fixing the lawnmower or something, just put them on the background.
And, yeah, it's easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Nothing But a Woman. Did I play Nothing But a Woman?
Yeah, I did.
Smoking Gun is the other one. But... I mean,
yeah, for some reason, I can't remember Smoking Gun.
I own the album, and there's 10 songs on the album, and 5 of them are awesome, and the rest of them are just easy to listen to. It's just very, there's nothing controversial or...
Right, nothing offensive.
There's no shrill. You know, every once in a while, you get that... album that's got, you know, the one weird song on it. This has nothing weird on it.
Right.
There's a couple of ballads that are a little slower, but it's good, easy listening stuff.
Gotcha.
And again, rhythm and blues and Robert Cray, just a talented guitar.
Good pick.
And again, I don't even know if he's like in the top 10 or top 100 guitarists ever. But what he plays is good.
Yeah, he's very well respected. I know that.
Yeah, you know,
you never hear anybody say anything bad about him.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah,
you know, performing since the 70s.
Yeah,
you know, he's like a buddy guy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know a lot about him, but I've heard some of his stuff. I've heard a lot about his reputation. It's a guy that you'd want to listen to anytime. You know.
Yeah, you look on his website there, he's got a crap ton of albums. But this, like I said, this is the one from 86. This is the one I bought, and I just really enjoy it. And I'll throw it on every once in a while. And I was just downstairs looking at my CD collection going, what can I pull out here? And it just leaped out at me. I said, you know what? This should be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, again, there's a lot of one-album bands that I have. He's one of them. I would like more of his stuff. This is what I bought. You know, and I've owned this since 86 when it came out. Bought it when it came out.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick.
When CDs were first come, you know, whatever. But, I mean, that's Robert Cray. That's my guy.
All right.
What's your next one?
Well, this one's a little bit tougher. I don't know a lot about this band. You just mentioned them, or at least the lead singer a little while ago, as we were speaking this evening. If I said
Money for Nothing,
band that was so far ahead of their time, the album, if you listen to the album, if I played the album for you today, you would think maybe it was made 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or could have been. But this is this album. I how can I describe it?
When did it come out? When did the album come out?
I don't want to give anything away, but it was came out in the late 60s.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Yeah, give it away now. Late 60s.
All right.
Late 60s.
I'm with you.
Let me see. Lead singer has passed.
Right.
Lead
singer, a rock and roll legend, or just a lead singer?
Yes. Big time songwriter. Big times. In fact, I was reading some information on this because I don't really know. I have the album, but I was just looking up some details on it. And the time it, excuse me, when it came out, it only sold 30,000 albums. And they said, somebody had said that the people that bought those albums all started rock bands. Why he said that, I don't know. But it's kind of interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let me...
Give me just a hint at one of the songs or a lyric from one of the songs. Let me see if I can guess who it is.
What happens? The album is most known for a major drug, which is essentially the name of a song.
Oh,
I don't know if I don't know if I said that right. No, but close.
No.
So I am talking about the Velvet Underground.
Oh yeah, I would have not guessed that.
Yeah, Harold.
Lou Reed. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I don't know a lot about these guys, but I wish I did because the album that the Velvet Underground came out with the Andy Warhol banana on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
Was I think basically their breakthrough album. Rolling Stone says it's one of the greatest 500 greatest albums of all time. There's been a ton of albums out there. Right. But if you listen to it, like I said, it was made in 67, but if you put this album in 67, it just doesn't fit at all. And it was like psychedelic.
Yeah.
It was like punk, alternative almost. It was kind of goth. I'm kind of reading off some of these notes here on Wikipedia. But it's all true. I'm just kind of helping describe the album. Let me see. How did I do? Oop, I lost one of these. Let me play.
So is there, and this is always something that, makes me go, wow, what happened there? Is there a series of bands that came out after the Velvet Underground? Like the guys from
A lot of people were influenced by the Velvet Underground.
No. What I'm saying is his former members making other bands.
You know, Lou Reed going on to, I think he went, who did Lou Reed? Did Lou Reed go down to form another band, or did he just play solo?
I know he did. Remember? Some solo. I think he was just solo, but for whatever.
I think so too. But something's like kind of poking me in the side. Like, no, he had one other band.
Yeah.
Let me see something real quick.
But I'm just curious, like anybody else from the Velvet Underground that went off to start other bands after they.
Yeah, I don't think so. But like I said, I don't know a lot about it. I've always been kind of intrigued about these guys. Let me see Wikipedia.
Interesting. Well, I would be interested to see.
You know
what came
up. It doesn't. Lewis Allen Reed, I'm looking through Wikipedia right now. Associated acts was the Velvet Underground, John Cale, Nico, Bowie, John Zorn, Laurie Anderson, Metal Machine Trio, and Metallica. Yeah, but I'll play. We all heard "Walk on the Wild Side," but
yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's
that was on that album.
No, no. But
this Reed song be like nothing we've ever seen.
So.
Listening.
Does it sound okay?
It's all right, yeah.
All right, yeah.
So it's all.
It's simple. It's simple.
Yeah, let me speed it up a little bit. But
your sound quality is horrible.
I know. I got to figure out something, but
yeah.
Nevertheless, way ahead of its time. It was that psychedelic. I think this was more of the psychedelic stuff that came out actually before. I mean, it was late 60s. I mean, it's almost kind of mid 60s actually.
Right.
67, but
and that psychedelic stuff was going, but
yeah,
they had Velvet Underground had a very unique take on all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it was almost like the psychedelic meets punk.
Right, right.
It's like the beginnings of how punk came about. It's like, well, these guys are, you know, they're doing the stuff that everybody else is kind of doing with this psychedelic shit. But
it's almost like
there's like a raw there's. The percussion, the drums, there's something extra different, like raw about it. Like it's
yeah,
like the beginnings of what punk is going to be.
Yeah. It's like when the Doors came out,
mm-hmm.
The Doors stood by themselves. And I think when these guys came out in the late 60s, stood out all by themselves.
Yeah.
It's cool. What's up, Sean? And I also with Kinley Baker 7.
Kinley Baker 7 has joined us.
Yeah. Thanks for being
part of our show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, you know, you cut me off because I was trying to tell you what I knew about Sean, but I'll tell you what I know about. Tell you everything I know about Kinley Baker 7.
No, go right ahead.
Smells Nice has their own clothing lines. Former astronaut, currently producing a period piece movie, Stalin Does Dallas. Welcome along, Kinley Baker 7.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, you know what I know about Eric.
Oh, I can only imagine.
No, nothing actually. But you know, Eric's life has touched a lot of people, and so far, no one's pressed charges.
Right, thank God.
But apparently, Sean Smells Nice has his own clothing line. Former astronaut, currently producing the period piece Stalin Does Dallas.
Where are you reading that from?
I just made some shit up today.
Apparently,
I just felt weird today, and I thought I would share some weird.
Yeah, maybe more weird than usual.
No, not really.
Unusually weird.
No,
not really. I mean, it's funny. It's entertaining.
And that's what I try. You know, it's like our show. It's so simple. It writes itself.
Yeah, like really. Like, you know, if anybody's out there that says, hey, you know what, you guys are talking about the Velvet Underground or Hindu Love Gods or who are your bands? What was it?
So Justin far, Timberlake? Robert Cray. Yeah. And,
oh, yeah. Robert Cray.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake. As if.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to say something funny. That was a low blow.
Yeah, that wasn't even like remotely funny. But it was.
You're not even Canadian.
I'll even give you the effort, though. I'll give you a cue for effort.
All right. I appreciate it. But feel free to send something over. Bill will have to play it on his state-of-the-art sound machine system over there.
Well, and you're going to like this too.
Yeah, that he spent his allowance on.
Well, I don't get much, so this is.
I don't get any of them.
As allowances go, you know.
Yeah.
I'm what's known by my Scottish friends as a cheap bastard.
Yeah, I'm a little frugal. Hey, you don't get rich not being frugal.
Right.
You know.
So my next band.
I'd rather be lucky than good.
I'd rather be naked than
stoned. Hey, easy.
So my next band is an all cover band. And I'm only going to describe to you how I would describe them.
Well, I know who these guys are.
You probably do. I've talked about them with you specifically before.
The Messer Cups?
No. I'm not going to repeat. I have so much music to go through. We could do this show for 2 years and I still wouldn't do four bands a week. And I would never repeat.
I know. When you're a DJ, you have that knowledge.
Well, I also have like 8 zillion CDs and 48,000 records. Wow. The basement's a mess. But so this band is essentially an all cover band, and they only cover one band.
Les Zeppelin? No.
They are a reggae band.
Oh.
That does only covers of one particular band. And the name of this band, well, I'll give you this. Here. Sounds a little like the Immigrant Song.
Yeah. Was I right? It's Les. What's the name of that band?
Dread Zeppelin.
Dread Zeppelin. Oh, Dread Zeppelin?
Dread.
There's another one that's. Do you remember?
Not interested. What I want to talk about is Dread Zeppelin.
But do you remember what Dread stood for?
Yeah. The
WRIF.
Detroit rockers eat all disco.
No. No.
It was I had a Dread card. I never really.
No. Apparently, you don't remember what it was for, or don't remember what it was.
The Dread card. So the Dread card thing was against disco, but this is Dread Zeppelin.
Detroit rockers engaged against disco.
Right. Whatever. But Dread Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Is a Led Zeppelin cover band.
They're all females.
It's a reggae bunch of guys.
Oh, that's right, reggae.
With an Elvis impersonator as the lead singer.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there's a local band called Les something, but they're all women that play Led Zeppelin covers.
Well, and that would be interesting too. We'll have to you'll have to feature them when it's not it's your turn and not my turn.
I'm just going in the
but they really do a creative job keeping with a recognizable Led Zeppelin song, but making it their own.
Yeah, if you're smoking the hooch.
So much fun.
You gotta be smoking the hooch.
Yeah. Well, they actually do, because it's an Elvis impersonator, I'm gonna stop this one. That was Immigrant Song. They actually do a version of Heartbreaker.
Is it any better?
It's phenomenal, but it's Heartbreaker at the end of Lonely Street. So it's Led Zeppelin's Heartbreaker and Elvis's Heartbreak Hotel blended together. But
really?
Great rock and guitar. Listen. And there are the verses just alternate. It goes from Heartbreaker to.
They bounce back and forth?
Yeah. Oh, throughout it's seamless.
Oh my God!
This is my favorite song by them ever.
I couldn't even
listen.
Oh my God!
Just wait for it.
Interesting.
But it's got that reggae feel.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And so they do two verses of Heartbreak Hotel, which are about to wrap up here. And then he's going to roll into Heartbreak, and he's going to go, holy crap.
Wow.
Here it comes. It's worth it. Definitely worth it.
You know,
isn't that awesome? And it just goes back and forth between Heartbreaker and Elvis.
That's pretty good. That's good.
I can't help it.
You know, I heard a...
And it's honest to the Zeppelin song. But it just plays. It's fun.
If I didn't have the sound system that... I wish I had the sound system you did, but... There is, we should look this up.
What am I looking up?
It is Chris Cornell. And
Chris Cornell.
Yep. One. C. Yep. C. From Soundgarden. And the song is One. And what he does, he plays the U2.
Oh, Metallica.
Yeah, the U2 music. And he sings over Metallica lyrics. I just find this stuff like kind of.
Oh, yeah. I love it when artists do stuff that is that creative like that.
Yeah. Can you play it a little bit of it? Like just go into the middle or something.
Yeah, let's get here.
I think it has a big intro, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever.
I think it's a live version. Not sure.
We're losing a lot of good artists, man. We lost Bowie, Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Oh, I can hear the U2 song guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's singing Metallica lyrics.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's so completely different song.
Yeah. That's that takes some talent to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll have to do a show with covers like that, or not cut. Well, I guess it'd be covers, whatever you want to call it.
We could do a cover show.
Yeah, you know, just but
what would Elvis sound like if he was singing Kashmir?
Not that. We have more than people. That's a young Elvis.
Yeah.
That's Elvis on a beach.
But Elvis on a beach with a reggae band backing him up.
Right. With a big, like, a big concept.
The concept of mixing Elvis and a reggae band.
Yeah,
it seems is amazing in itself, but then to only do Zeppelin cover songs is just like, what a creative bunch of crazies.
You think they're smoking weed? You think they're smoking the hooch?
I bet.
Pull it all together?
The talent and skill, I bet they don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't golf and smoke weed or drink, so I don't think I could be a band member playing an instrument and do the same.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
I'd just be up there strumming.
The time that you actually play golf,
yeah.
The time that you would actually play guitar, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
They also did a version of "Smoke on the Water."
Really, Deep Purple?
Yeah, Dred Zeppelin, "Smoke on the Water." talking about what I smoke, man. It's just fun stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
it's party music. You know,
it is, and it's good to. It
can't put a smile on your face. That's pretty good.
The whole idea of having an Elvis impersonator as your lead singer.
Yeah.
Just doing reggae.
My buddy had his vows renewed by an Elvis impersonator in Vegas.
Oh, well, that's actually on my bucket list.
But I think I would have to do it with my second wife.
You have a second wife?
No. I just can't imagine that Sue would want to do that with an Elvis. She would just look at me like and roll her eyes and go, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. So, you know.
See that?
I'll never get married again anyway.
No.
Nobody else can put up
with it. Nobody wouldn't marry you again. Yeah, well, I guess we'll put my subject aside, which I don't know.
Have we ever followed the subject?
No, not at all.
What's the point of it?
I don't know. I do entice people to listen.
Yeah. So this is Dred Zeppelin doing Smoke on the Water in the background, just so you know. And this is a fun song too. So anyways, sorry, we're going somewhere else. I'm going to turn this down.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's good fun stuff. And like I said, it was amazing that you picked out something of a band that does remakes, and I picked out remakes.
Yeah.
Both similar. Yeah, fluky, crazy stuff that we do. Oh, you know, we need to throw this to commercial.
Go ahead.
So I'm gonna read the liner notes for this commercial here. Basically, here's how it goes: is we're gonna have to pause for this commercial break, and when we come back, the show will still be terrible, but monetized. And now, a word from our sponsors. Here at Jameson Walker Statler and Waldorf, we are the legal team that has so far kept low standards and pores out of jail. Need we say more? Didn't think so. Just remember, when you're in the clink for doing something without think, call the legal team that don't stink.
You've been practicing that.
Jameson, Walker, and Statler, and Waldorf.
That's funny.
And that's that. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I think I wrote that hungover the other day.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing silent clap right now.
Yeah, thank you.
Whatever that means, I just made that up.
Appreciate you clapping silently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll just stay off my topic then. What else do you got? What have we got in store for the weekend? Anything?
Got a new fridge this week.
Finally. Oh, that's always good. We don't want to go down and talk about painting your house and stuff.
No, no. So we got the new fridge. This is going into what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we got the new fridge, and the fridge that was in the kitchen is going into the garage, and the fridge that was in the garage is now going to my new brother's house.
Oh, gotcha.
He's coming to get that tomorrow, and I'm going to go help him move it, and it'll be silly and fun and goofy.
Gotcha. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, so, and I'm apparently he's got a new girlfriend, so I'm going to meet her and say hi and tell her a crazy story.
I got to go look for a desk. I'm gonna go find myself an old door. And then my buddy and I, Jeff, that's got the
Rack House Ramblings.
Yeah. So if anybody's out there that really enjoys bourbon, and he's a first or a first, he's a first responder.
Yeah. When you need someone to speak English for you, just give me a call.
Thanks for the clarification. He is a firefighter, and he does a great job with his little Rack House Ramblings, but a lot more entertaining than us. Or maybe he's less entertaining.
He might be less entertaining, but he probably makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
You know, his is actually logical. And
he loves like fly fish and hunt and all that kind of stuff. He's an outdoorsman. So check it out.
He makes sense.
Yeah, he's got an easy podcast to listen to, unlike ours.
Oh, yeah. Ours is just like a headache.
Yeah. Bizarre, whatever we come up with.
I don't even know. Why did we do that? Sorry, go on.
Have you, have you listened to Nonsense Password?
Like 2 weeks ago, I caught him because he's only doing Wednesdays, I think, now.
Oh, is he?
Cut it down to one a week? Once a week. Well, you know, life gets in the way.
Is he?
But Nonsense is still active, at least as of a couple weeks ago.
Interesting.
And some of our other favorites are still floating around there. But
Father Brian.
I miss me some Father Brian. I have not had the time to actually listen to other folks because I've been, you know, working my ass off. Actually, yeah, I take that back. I should have listened to other recorded historical shows from these guys during work sometime. But I always seem to get distracted with you know, some political crap is going on apparently now. Once in a while I listen to that.
I don't even care anymore. That was my bitch today. Everything in the media and news.
And I'm not talking about it with you because I don't care.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I look at it one more step. In other words, the obvious is what we see, right? But the unfortunate thing is this, and I was kind of thinking about this today.
All right, let it out.
I was actually thinking about this when I wrote the subject when I wanted to talk about it.
Do I need to be your psychiatrist today?
No, everybody else will.
Would you think that I should use a German accent and say,
you might have raised them well and they might be whatever, I don't know. But I see there's a lot of kids out there. It's like we've seen both sides, right?
Right.
So we've seen black and white TV, color TV. Mm-hmm. We've seen the invent of a personal computer and then on social media and how it's affected, all that's affected our lives. But there's a lot of kids these days that are born into this computer and born into social media. And, you know, you read all these stories about how kids are affected by it. And they were saying that teenager suicide is way up. And it's like, these families have got to get together and like, just, I don't, just whatever. I mean, the writing's on the wall and they got to, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a family, but you got to take care of these kids, you know?
That comes down to
keep them involved.
The thought that I have is, so who are you to tell these parents how to raise their kids?
Yeah, but you have to.
That's who am I to tell them?
But when there's sickness like this out there, you got to do something.
But is it really that bad? I mean, I think it is, sure.
I'm not a statistician by any means, but.
But, the suicide issue is a problem, yes. But there's always been suicide issues. Is it that much higher, or is it that we're actually tracking it better?
It'll be a conversation for another time. But if I was a betting man, I'd be willing to bet that everything is up as far as – I think – social media has affected our kids' lives more than what we know. And I think there's a break in reality somewhere.
Here's a good example of this. My kids really, really wanted to watch this show tonight.
Yeah.
So we all get in the room and we're watching the show.
I'm not saying all kids. I mean, there's good parents out there, but I'm saying there's a breakdown of parents. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me finish.
You hit the floor now.
So the kids wanted to watch the show, but yet at certain moments they were still pulling out and looking at their phones even though they wanted to watch the show.
Do you ever ask your kids like what's so interesting?
Yeah, and then they look at it and go nothing and they put the phone down. I mean maybe my kids are an anomaly, I don't know, but
I'm not saying
I look at it this way. We have the items that we wanted to watch together recorded or saved or some way we can always rewind and watch again.
Sure.
Right. Or pause or whatever. So them being distracted is really not that big a deal because nobody's going to miss anything and that's fine. And we're still doing it together in the same room and that's fine. Maybe it takes a little longer. Maybe it's a little annoying here and there, but what is it? You know? And it's at a certain point they go, oh, well, this is actually inconsiderate to the rest of them in the room, so I'm going to turn this off. And they do. Sometimes without me saying anything, they just kind of realize it. The question I have, though, going to a deeper point, and I know this is not where you wanted to go with this, but I really have a problem with the people who don't have a direct stake telling other people how to live their lives.
Well,
and I understand there's a difference between someone saying, well, you should fix this or this needs to get fixed. And someone saying, well, you need to go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
There's a severe gray area of how to get a society to work well together with a certain set of standards and rules. But then again, who sets those standards and why are those standards set that way? That's where my questions are. And it's not always that I'm a complete rebel and I can't stand your standards. It's, I just want to make sure that whatever standards we're putting for everybody makes enough sense for the most amount of people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I can't tell somebody I mean, I can think it in my head, but I can't just go, you're an idiot. Why would you ever go to church or give any of those shit munchers money? Because all they're doing is living off you.
Yeah. Well,
but I can't.
Let me ask you this. Should the web be regulated? I mean, should it be like,
why would it be regulated?
Well, why wouldn't it? We have all this information out there that's open to anybody. A lot of it's bad. Most of it's bad. 40% of the web anyways is pornography. I mean, you can find anybody or anyone or whatever you want to know on. I mean, shouldn't some of this be regulated somehow?
You've said three different things all at once.
Yeah.
What you've said is there's too much porn on the web.
Yeah.
And some of this should be regulated, but all of this should be regulated somehow.
Yeah, don't you think
so? So that's three different things. No, it's not.
Some of it should be regulated?
What I'm saying is, I was not prepared for this conversation, but right off the top of my head, no. Right. It shouldn't be regulated because freedom of thought, the way I see the web is it's a conglomeration of good, bad, and horrible ideas, right?
Yeah.
So what has to happen in this, obviously the technology has been going a lot faster than society to be able to catch up to, you know, enough people going, hey, you know what? Yeah, this is stupid. The president shouldn't have access to Twitter because he's lying to everyone. And he actually
He's bypassing all the news media.
Yeah, depends but how you look at the, it, you know? But the problem is
that's a, you know, everything he says through Twitter comes directly from him. Doesn't go through anybody else's.
Right. No. But it's not factual.
Well, I mean, there's arguments with all that kind of stuff.
Whatever. There may be, no, but this is I'm not trying to just point him out. Yeah. It's just a very easy example because what happened with him was the company said, well, we have standards to use our service.
Yeah.
And you violated those standards, so you don't get to use our service anymore.
Yeah. Okay,
so that's one thing. That's one way to regulate it, but that's giving the service provider the power to regulate. What possibly I might be okay with, depending on how it's worded, and if it comes from the government, it will be fucked up. But what I'd possibly be okay with is dissemination of things that can't be backed up or can't be verified as factual, that aren't clearly identified as editorials. Those items need to be pulled.
I didn't mean for you to go on a tangent.
I didn't go on a tangent. This is all exactly what you're asking me.
All right. Anyways, it's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, it is.
It's a minute.
Enough of that.
An hour, almost 3 minutes.
All right.
And we're gonna.
Before we wrap, I got to give us the final disclaimer.
All right, we'll hurry up.
Evening. The views and opinions expressed by these two morons are solely those of the participants in this travesty of a show. Any semblance of a coherent thought is purely accidental. The intention of this show is to give you a little entertainment, very little, and a sideshow to the craziness we call real life. All shows are poorly researched and based solely on the misinformed opinions of the hosts. Any semblance of rational thought, factual information, or coherent concepts is purely coincidental. That's a lot of big words.
It is.
Under no circumstances should any of these ramblings be considered as complete rational thoughts. Should you find yourself enjoying this program, we hold no responsibility for your high blood pressure, liver disease, or peanut allergies. And that is the disclaimer from our law offices of Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf.
Thanks, everybody, for being on. Big Life there. Kinley Baker, Sean, Man Cave, Rusty and Richard.
Hey, did I tell you about Man Cave? Told you about Man Cave, right? He smells nice. Has his own clothing line. Former astronaut, currently producing a period piece movie called Starland Does Dallas.
That's lovely.
That's
lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was nice chatting.
Pretty much everybody who joins us
is going to smell nice. You might be on Sunday. Yeah. You come up with something interesting on Sunday.
Barely.
Mr. Opinionato.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be fun. Join us Sunday night, somewhere around this time. We'll be silly and crazy.
Adios.